The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Grip situation. The problem is with masks, if you have this cough drop on, it's so potent that when you breathe out, your eyes start to water. Because the menthol or whatever, you breathe out through your nose, it shoots up the mask, and I'm walking around blind. I'm going to get your calls in, 888-SAY-ESPN. Sometimes I don't do that very much because I love the sound of my own voice, apparently. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. We're coming to you very live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The Lakers won, and we asked on First Take today, is this something, nothing, or everything? And as usual, I was the voice of reason. It's something. That Lakers win is something. Party people, before we even get to the play-in and da-da-da, the fact of the matter is, the Lakers didn't have LeBron, they didn't have AD, they didn't have Schroeder, and they didn't have Caruso. This is not just like the end of a game, this is all game. And Talen Horton-Tucker played point toward the end of the game after, you know, not playing perfectly, came up big. Kuzma played well when he needed to. Andre Drummond gave you 20 and 10. By the way, THT, 23 points, 10 dimes. And the Lakers beat the Rockets. Ah, the Rockets are like playing backups. Yeah, yeah. And that's why this is something. That's why this win is something. Because look, when the Lakers traded for Andre Drummond, my whole thing with that trade was when you have LeBron and AD on the same team, you had to use so many resources to get two MVP caliber players on the same team. What does the rest of your rotation look like? Probably you're not going to have a lot of other average starters. You know, and that's what the Lakers had. Schroeder is a starting caliber player. No one else is. Harrell's a sixth man. KCP is a bench player. Kuzma's a bench player, et cetera, et cetera. There are no other real starters on the team. And that's okay. They're rotation pieces. Obviously, they're in rotation of a championship team. But they're not really starters. When they got Drummond after the trade deadline, it was a buyout. When they got Drummond, I thought, okay, well, this is another above just a starting play. He's an above average starter, Drummond, for a five. But how's he going to work with AD? And it hasn't looked great, the two of them on the court together. But when I see a game like last night, you know what that tells me? Let me back up. The most important thing for the Lakers is not where they're seated, and at this point it doesn't matter really, or whether they have to play in the play-in tournament or not, or even who they play in the first round. The most important thing is that LeBron and AD are healthy. But if in order to manage AD with that groin, groins are like hamstrings, you know, like that, those muscles, the only thing that really works is rest. Let's say to really optimize AD's efficiency, you have to play him 25, 28 minutes a game. Well, you got Andre Drummond to suck up the rest of those minutes at the five. You don't have to play them together. And what the Lakers showed, what THT and Drummond and Kuzma and all these guys are showing now is extra-dimensional play. Like, LeBron needs to use them in specific ways, right? But what they're showing is against a second unit, because the Houston Rockets are a second unit. The team is a second unit. They can win. The Lakers' second unit can beat the other team's second unit. Like, the Rockets starters are basically another team's second unit. The Lakers second unit, but and they don't even have to beat them. All they do is have to stay close. If the Lakers second unit, if Andre Drummond and Montrezl Harrell and all these guys, KCP, can, or whoever's on the bench, can stay close. If they're, by the way, to me it looks like those guys are going to have a good plus minus, like a plus. But even if they're a minus one or two or something like that, the Lakers starters, because of LeBron and AD, are going to be just fine. You know, Montrezl Harrell against your second unit or against your tired starters, I love it. Same thing with Andre Drummond. And that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, I think. Right, Raj? Can we call that Straight Talk? Or do I do Straight Talk now? Or do I now say, first it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless?
Yeah, because that
the NFL is billing this as the biggest season ever.
Just think about how many record holders we might have.
But I think all in all, look, football is football. The more the merrier for us. Let's just get it going.
Yeah, Mac. First you did real talk.
Oh,
now this is straight talk.
Straight talk.
You were doing real talk at first.
Real talk and now straight talk. All different kinds
now
of talk.
Straight talk.
Mm-hmm. Now this is straight talk.
Yeah. Why don't you tell NFL, them about your jealousy for the Dallas Cowboys?
NFL schedule is out. I have no Raj, I'm not jealous of the Cowboys. I'm a Giants fan. I'm not jealous.
You're in the Dallas team and everything. You hate it. We know.
The fact
you
of
hate
the matter
it.
Is. The fact of the matter
you
is.
Hate that. Even though we're no good, people still love to watch
the thanks. I don't care about whether other people want to watch it. I care about if I want to watch it. And the Christmas schedule looks fresh to death. The Thanksgiving schedule, as usual, hot garbage.
Oh, no. America's team versus the Raider Nation. That's going
to
be
the
hot.
Raiders would be lucky to be 500 again. And the Cowboys would be lucky to be 500.
See, Max, here's what you
they haven't been 500 in 2 years where they were 500.
Before I get to your takeaways and what we think is a game of year other than the Cowboys, you are just a disgruntled Giants fan who's always looking up to the Cowboys. You're not even like our little brother. You're like our son. We sunning you. And so you just get mad that America loves to watch us on TV no matter our record. It drives you crazy with the Forbes list you tried to ignore. Six straight years
Raj,
we're the most valuable
franchise. Raj, first of all, okay, let me clear up a few things. The Cowboys are certainly not the most valuable franchise. Most of a sports franchise's value is wrapped up in the real estate. And therefore, a team like the Yankees will always, if they actually came to selling the team, would sell for maybe twice as much as the Cowboys. The Giants would sell for more because it's a real estate deal. And the real estate in New York is 10 times as valuable as the real estate in Texas. Sorry. That's number one. Number two, I couldn't care less about the fact that they're popular. I acknowledge they're popular. What I don't like is they're not very good, and neither are the Raiders. And by the way, the Lions, look, Detroit just traded. I don't know why people think they'll be any better. They just traded a quarterback for an inferior one. Goff is so much worse than Stafford that it cost two firsts and a third to swap them. So, like, yeah. So I look at now the Christmas slate looks great. The Thanksgiving slate, not so much. Anyway, the NFL schedule is out, as you know. And Keyshawn Johnson on ESPN's morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, had this to say about it.
It's not a New York thing. It's a fan thing.
Yeah.
But it's also a player thing.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. We get the schedule. We look at the schedule. And we go, yeah, we're going to rock him. He weak. Oh, yeah, that dude. Oh, yeah, we're going to fry him. Yeah, we can beat them. They got a good defensive line. We should win here. Ah, it's tough. And a lot of players may not admit that, but I'm telling you, that happens on that sheet. Now it's 18 weeks instead of 17.
So you guys really look at the schedule when it comes
absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely.
And I don't know, circle dates, but oh, maybe
absolutely.
You do. Did
I
you circle
dates?
The date, Jets,
absolutely.
When you first saw the first time you were going to meet the Jets? Did you say, all right.
Oh, yeah, that didn't turn out too well.
I believe that's Alan Hahn in for Zubin there, right? But I don't know. I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, of course players look at the schedule. And I'll say this. The schedule looks right now different than it's going to look, by the third or fourth week of the season when we really start to find out who's good and not so good, right? Right now we're making a lot of assumptions, like I'm thinking the Cowboys aren't going to be that great, neither are the Raiders. It's kind of a mediocre matchup. But if they're both really hot and the Thanksgiving game rolls around, then all of a sudden that looks like a great Thanksgiving Day schedule. And if they're what they're going to be, because I know what they're going to be already, then, not so much. Arranged from the easiest to the hardest. Listen to these schedules. The easiest schedule in the NFL, number one easiest belongs to the Philadelphia Eagles, which is interesting because it means maybe they'll be in the mix in the NFC East. Maybe it's a four-team race after all. The Cowboys have the second easiest schedule, which will also keep them in the mix and maybe over. Maybe they could get over 500. The Falcons, the third easiest schedule, and Atlanta's a weird team, man. It used to be they spent 1 year good, 1 year bad. 1 year good, 1 year bad. Now they're just kind of bad. But you figure with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and, like, you keep waiting on them to be good. I've lost patience. The Bucks have the fourth easiest schedule. Why would the league give the Bucks, the defending champs, who for the first time in history return all 22 starters, the fourth easiest schedule? You know how much better Antonio Brown's going to be this year than recent years? Knowing all season where he's going to be, who he's playing with, the hookup with Brady, the whole thing. They're going to be impossible. And then the Broncos have the fifth easiest schedule. Who has the hardest schedule? The fifth hardest schedule. Wait a minute. Raj, from easiest, arranged from easiest to hardest. So the hardest schedule also, the fifth hardest is the leftmost, or is it the rightmost, Raj? The
way it's arranged easiest to hardest, like it says from the email I copied.
So what you're saying is the fifth hardest schedule is the Steelers, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm leading up to it with the proper drama. Suspense.
Pretty sure,
yeah. Well, the Steelers supposedly have the fifth hardest schedule, and they have the hardest, I don't know. But you know something about the Steelers? Mike Tomlin, leave the excuses for everybody else. All Mike Tomlin does is win, or at least not lose. He's never been below 500. They won 12 games last year, and he's never been below 500. With the remains of Ben Roethlisberger and no offensive line to speak of, no running game, they won 12 games. And when he didn't have Roethlisberger, they won 8 games. Even Bill Belichick just had a season under 500, but not Tomlin. So I don't care how hard the Steelers' schedule is. I think that's at least an 8-8 team, which means I think they will be, well, 8-8. Right now it's like, are they going to be 8-9 or 9-8? I'm going to say 9-8. I'm going to say the Steelers won't have a losing season. So they'll be in the playoff hunt. Ravens, right there with them. Fourth hardest.
It's come to our attention that Raj has a completely flipped. The Steelers actually have the hardest schedule.
I knew it. That's why I saw it, and I remember Steelers were one. But
why wouldn't you, if the Cowboys have the easiest, why wouldn't I mean, gosh, come on, guys, keep up.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know either. So the Steelers have the hardest. So let me, I was going to reveal that at the end, but good job, Raj. The Vikings have the fifth hardest schedule. I mean, even Kirk Cousins' best receiver doesn't believe in him. The Packers have the fourth hardest schedule. Isn't that interesting what the league does to Brady, how they take care of him? For 20 years, he played in a division, the AFC East, without a single good quarterback. The best one he ever faced was Chad Pennington when he was healthy, who was a nice quarterback, but with a wet noodle for an arm, but a good quarterback. But that was it. He never faced another good quarterback in 20 years. So every year, all Brady had to do, and Belichick had to do, but I'm focusing on Brady now, all he had to do was win a single home playoff game, and it's in the AFC Championship game. Now he goes to Tampa. The team's loaded. They win the Super Bowl, credit to Tom Brady, and the league gives him the fourth easiest schedule. Meantime, Aaron Rodgers, they still didn't draft him an offensive player, right? 10 straight drafts, the only offensive player they drafted in the first round was his replacement, was Jordan Love, who they moved up to take. And they give him the fourth hardest schedule. Okay, the Bears have the third hardest schedule. That's tough for Justin Fields. I would suggest that they don't rush Fields onto the field. If he wins the job, fine. But you know, Andy Dalton's pretty good. Like, as the season wore on, you saw he went from, oh, man, he's really not good. Dak is so much better. They really missed Dak. But by the time the season started drawing to close, they said, you know what? Dalton's holding it down. Okay. So let Dalton be a tackling dummy behind that bad offensive line until Fields is ready. Because when you give Justin Fields the ball, if you're the Bears, you want him to take it for the next 10 to 15 years, win a Super Bowl, and make the Hall of Fame one day. You don't want to start him, sit him. Now there's a quarterback controversy. Something happens. No. And the Bears have the third hardest schedule. Ravens has the second hardest, and then the Steelers. I mean, the drama is ruined. Because Raj, it's not even Raj's fault. Raj sometimes sees letters backwards. I imagine you can see lists backwards as well, Raj. I think that's fair to say. It gets confusing.
It's challenging out here.
Yeah, it's challenging. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 877-SAY-ESPN. Now, the game of the year. Everyone's talking about it. The game of the year, including Tom Brady's daddy. By the way, if my Cliff prediction came true, I would have been Tom Brady's daddy. But as it turns out, he's mine, apparently. But his daddy, so I guess it makes him my grandpa. Called into a radio station to talk about how, well, I'm going to play that sound in a second. But at any rate, he saw that week 4, Tom Brady returns to Foxborough. And this time, Belichick's going to have time to prepare. He has a new team, much more to his liking. That's going to be a hellified matchup. Here is Tom. So who did he call in to? What radio station? I need to give all the information here.
98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston.
98. Did people on the radio hear you say that, Brendan? Or is that just
they heard it.
Okay, good. There you go. There you go. If he was Raj, he would have said 95.8 Hub Sports Boston. All right, listen to.
That is absolutely true.
Right. Listen to Tom Brady's dad.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
Whoa. Throwing it down. Throwing down the challenge to Belichick. I don't know if I like the Bucs in that game. I don't know. At Foxborough, a highly motivated Belichick who's going to the thing about the Bucs is they do a lot of things well. But what Belichick does, it's not like smoke and mirrors so much. Belichick and Brady both let you beat yourself. They're not going to do things to beat themselves. But the main thing that Belichick does, if you want to boil it down, what is his game plan? Belichick will take away the best thing and the second best thing you can do. And he's going to make you beat him with your third best thing. The third best receiver is going to have to beat you. The third best game plan you can run is going to have to beat you, right? That's what Belichick's basically going to do. Now, the Bucs have guys who can run the ball. They have a line that can block for the run. They have a line that can protect the passer. They have an embarrassment of riches on offense. Who's the greatest tight end of all time? Who? Tony Gonzalez. Wrong. It's Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end I've ever seen. And Antonio Brown is the only other guy whose numbers can fit in comfortably with Jerry Rice's and Randy Moss's and not have you say, hey, that's not Jerry Rice. If you took Antonio Brown's best years statistically and kind of snuck them into Randy Moss or Jerry Rice's career, no one would be like, oh, they had an off year there. They had an off 3 years. They'd just be like, oh, yeah, that's Randy Moss, that's Jerry Rice. That's how great Antonio Brown was. Who's to say he won't be better than he's ever been on this Bucs team with Tom Brady? Especially when you have Evans and Godwin and Gronk, and Howard and Brate. And, they got so many weapons. So maybe they will beat the Patriots with their third best, option. Or maybe Belichick cooks up a way to beat Brady. It's so good because there's so much intrigue because it's like two guys who've came up sparring each other, right? They know Brady knows all of Belichick's tendencies, and Belichick knows all of Brady's. Who do you think the fans in Foxborough are going to be rooting for? You think somewhere they're kind of mad at management, especially Belichick, for chasing off the greatest quarterback of all time? That's going to be really interesting. Here's Louis Riddick, ESPN's Monday Night Football analyst, of course, on the Patriots and the Bucs.
I really do feel that although New England has added a lot of pieces, obviously starting with free agency and how Bill really did strategically go ahead and supplement this roster, I think that this team is going to gel very quickly because I think these were very targeted acquisitions in the veteran free agent market. I think guys like Matthew Judon and Davin Godshall, they're going to be the kind of guys that really do set the tone defensively. They're going to return people like Dante Hightower on the defensive side of the ball as well. So I don't think you're going to see a team just go ahead and move the football up and down the field on this team like we saw happen to the Patriots late in the season last year.
Now, Louis Riddick, who's worked in front offices, who I was hoping the Giants would hire as GM several years ago when they hired Gettleman with his stupid Boston accent. Louis Riddick said today on First Take that there's no way Belichick's missing the playoffs again. There's no way he's missing the playoffs again. The AFC East is a beast. The Bills are excellent. The Dolphins won 10 games last year and just picked up Jalen Waddle, and Tua Tagovailoa is a year more removed from catastrophic injury, and year two is development year for the rookie quarterbacks, or for the young quarterbacks, rather. And now, the Patriots. How are the Patriots going to make the playoffs in that situation? And by the way, what does Belichick have to do to catch Brady? Does he need to win the Super Bowl this year? Because Brady won the Super Bowl in year one. And notice how it used to be Patriots every year before the season started. If you wanted to make Super Bowl picks, pretty safe bet, right? And now it's the Bucs. So now all of a sudden the Patriot way, through branding basically, doesn't feel like the Belichick way anymore. It feels like the Brady way. And think of how lucky Tom Brady got to win. The offensive line for Aaron Rodgers was nailed good. Then his coach took the ball out of his hand. And then the Chiefs lost their offensive line. And Drew Brees couldn't make plays at the end of the game. But luck is the residue of design. And remember how the Patriots used to always get lucky? And it always felt like, yeah, because Belichick's most prepared. Now it feels like the luck followed Tom Brady, doesn't it? And Belichick, two plays away from being 9-7, but they didn't make those plays. They got a little unlucky, it feels like. And the luck following Brady, if luck is the residue of design, makes it feel even more like the Patriot way the whole time was, in fact, Tom Brady more than Belichick. And guys like me were wrong. What does Belichick have to do? What do the Patriots have to do to catch Brady? Do they need to win a Super Bowl? They need to get further in the playoffs than the Bucs. He will have caught Brady, not passed him. But if he gets further with an inferior team than a loaded Bucs team with the easiest schedule, then it'll be in doubt again. Wait, who was more the Patriot way? But that's what it's going to take. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Mike Greenberg, host of Greeny, on his thoughts on the NFL schedule coming up. The 2021 NFL schedule is officially released, which means the NFL season's around the corner. Live events are making a comeback, and there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back into the action. So grab your NFL ticket and cheer on your favorite teams from the stands. Man, that feels great to finally say again, right? Back to the stadiums, back to the ballparks. Oh, the Giants, my New York football Giants. I'll tell you what, Raj, I'm not jealous of the Cowboys at all. And in fact, not envious. And in fact, I'm picking my Giants to win the division. And that's because they are the most well-rounded team in the NFC East. Of course, Daniel Jones needs to, you know, come through. But I'm going to make a trip or two to Giants Stadium. By the way, even better, you can earn up to 9% cash back with Vivid Seats rewards. Visit Vivid Seats, V-I-V-I-D, Seats.com, vividseats.com, or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Greeny next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You go with your team schedule, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. So game of the year, we know. Brady returns to Foxborough week 4. Brady's dad weighing in on it. We hear that sound again? Just let's play that Brady's dad sound again. I'll get to the other stuff in a second.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but we... Our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers. And so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly. Yeah.
That was Tom Brady's father calling sports talk radio. Who do you call again, Raj?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, or, as again, according to Raj, Sports the Hub 958 something. Is Greeny on the line yet? Is Greeny on the line? Because I saw ESPN Plus say that he's there. Raj, is Greeny there? I can't hear you.
Co-leader, our technical leader?
Here's the question. How does Green Bay make it right with Aaron Rodgers right now? Listen to Mike Holmgren, former NFL head coach, on Greeny with Mike Greenberg, who you're going to be hearing from on this show in a matter of moments. Listen to what Mike Holmgren told Mike Greenberg. I see voice of Mike Holmgren, but I don't hear the voice of Mike Holmgren, guys.
I think if you have a star quarterback or a player like a Aaron Rodgers or a Joe Montana or a Brett Favre or one of those guys who is your franchise, really, then you don't treat him quite the same way you do all the rest of the players. Yeah, that's not to mean you let him cross the line, but he is responsible for your team winning most of the time. And so you better have a good understanding with that player. And that sort of thing seems to have broken down there, obviously. And it's too bad, in my opinion.
That was Mike Holmgren talking to Mike Greenberg, host of Greeny and Get Up, who joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. Greeny!
Max, I believe the appropriate way to describe this would be first-time listener or first-time caller, long-time listener. I just got that backwards because I've never said it out loud before, but it is a pleasure. How are you?
Well, likewise, and you've just been listening to Raj too long, who seems to get everything backwards. Hey, Greeny, I listened to Mike Holmgren talk to you about that. I want to get to the schedule in a second, but it occurs to me, like Joe Montana, Steve Young's waiting in the wings. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers is waiting in the wings. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck was drafted, and he was hurt also. Here we have a situation where they move up to take Jordan Love, but Greeny, now we're hearing that they're going to offer Aaron Rodgers the bag, make him the highest guarantee ever, right, for a quarterback. That means that they are seeing horizons of at least, let's say, 4 more years for Rodgers, which means it seems like they're admitting they made a mistake with Jordan Love. How do you read this situation right now?
I don't think there's any other way to read it, and I think a lot of us made that mistake. I will admit that I did, too. I honestly perceived Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago as being on a significant decline. The numbers definitely demonstrated it. The eye test suggested it. And I think that they thought, as I did, that we were seeing the beginning of the end of him. And if that was the case, then going out and getting his heir apparent did make sense, whether this guy winds up being the right guy or not. And should they have communicated that with him better than they did, inarguably, regardless of the circumstances. However, the most telling thing I think Rodgers has said, if he said to Pat McAfee, I threw a monkey wrench into their plans by playing so well. I'm mad at myself for not making a bigger deal of that statement when we played it on TV and on the radio. Like, stop and think about that for just a minute. There's Aaron Rodgers basically saying, I screwed up what my own team wanted to do because I was so damn good. And right in that moment, I should have realized he does not want to come back and play for these guys. He's never coming back and playing for these guys unless something substantial changes, some real meaningful mea culpa of the sort that you're talking about right now. So, yes, I think they got the timeline wrong. And the only defense I'll offer them is that I think there was reason to think that at the time.
Listen, it's like the Honeymooners episode where Ralph said he'd eat his hat, right? And Norton starts salting the hat at a certain point. They better start salting their hats. right. Mike Greenberg here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What's your biggest takeaway from the schedule, Mike?
Well, I mean, I love the little things that actually mean something. You know, the schedule, I mean, we all knew who was playing who. The only thing we find out then is when. So the things that actually matter are the things that impact competitive issues. So, for example, New England got a very bad schedule to this extent. They play 3 games against teams that are coming off a bye. That's more than anybody else. The Raiders got a very bad schedule. They play 4 games this year on short rest. That's more than anybody else. The Carolina Panthers, maybe not the most exciting team in the world, but I think a chance to be a good team, they actually have the best rest differential of any team in the NFL. They're plus 15 in the number of days of rest they will have versus their opposition. That stuff makes a difference. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, and Teddy Bruschi is the one who brought it up this morning, I hadn't thought of it. The NFC East, including your beloved Giants, they all play each other and almost exclusively each other the end of the season. Washington's last 5 games are all division games. Dallas, Philly, the Giants, they play each other and almost exclusively each other in December and January. And Teddy Bruschi, I asked him, how do you think that impacts teams? Teddy Bruschi said, if anyone was ever going to consider load management in the NFL, that would be the time to do it. You're Washington, you've got a couple of aches and pains, you got 1 game, and now you're going into a gauntlet of 5 division games. That would be the spot to sit somebody that might not otherwise sit. And that was something I hadn't thought of that I thought was a very interesting potential unintended consequence of the 17-game schedule and some of the other things we saw the other night.
Yeah, now that you're bringing it up, there are 3 divisions. I'm trying to remember. There was the NFC West, the NFC East, and I think maybe the AFC East, where when you look at the schedule, given the matchups against each other and given how closely bunched some of those teams might be, there may be 3 divisions decided with interdivision games on the last week of the season. And but now with 17 weeks, that's a big deal. Or 18 weeks. 17 games is a big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, today when I was looking at the Monday night schedule, I turned to Hembo, one of our producers, and I said, why is there a Monday night game on January 3rd? Usually there isn't a Monday night game the last week of the season. And we have to look it up to realize that isn't the last week of the season.
Right, yeah.
The season goes through Sunday, January 9th. It's something we're all going to have to get used to. When I was making my annual prediction on the Jets record, I had to go 13-4. And I got to tell you, doing that math kind of became a little complicated for me. It's going to take a little getting used to.
Yeah. By the way, how do you feel as a Jets fan? All those years, Tom Brady, and, you know, there was only Pennington for a couple years, who did not have a good arm but was otherwise a very good quarterback, was the only decent quarterback Brady ever had to face in the AFC East for two decades, right? So you just win one playoff game at home, you're in the AFC Championship game. Now he's gone, right? And suddenly there are three strong teams the Jets are dealing with, and Brady is handed the easiest schedule in the NFL. Right, somehow the luck followed him right to Tampa. Is luck the residue of design here, or are the football gods, meaning the league, really smiling on Brady?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's probably all of the above. I think when you are exceptional, sometimes things tend to fall your way. Some of those are of your own doing. Some of them are probably just genuinely good fortune. And Brady has certainly been exceptional. But, yes, he has an easy schedule, and the AFC East decides to get really good right at the time that he departs. And everyone, including his old team, right now I think have pretty bright futures. So the answer to your question is I think all of the above. If D was an option, I think it's all of the above. I think the football gods smile on him. I think there is general good fortune. And, you know, as Arnold Palmer once said, it's funny. The more I practice, the luckier I tend to get, and I think there's an element of that as well.
Right, and the fact that the luck followed, like for the first time, Belichick doesn't make the playoffs because a couple plays don't go their way. They're not 9-7, they're 7-9, and Brady seems to get a little lucky in the play. The luck, the Patriots' way luck, seemed to follow Brady right out of New England, and he's looking good right now. Mike, before I let you go, I have to let you know. You were on my mind during the draft because you're famously a big Jets fan, and I got to say, as much as I hate the Jets because I'm a Giants fan, you know how New York is. What a draft you guys had. You got a quarterback who's a special talent. You already have a great left tackle, and you absolutely nailed down the left guard. And so now, like, you got the franchise quarterback and the left side of your line nailed down. You had to be. Not only was it a terrific job you guys did on draft night itself, but as a Jets fan, you had to be overjoyed.
I was. I was delighted. And what you're describing is only the beginning. They also got a receiver named Elijah Moore at the beginning of the second round. That was absolutely expected by everyone to go in round one. And then in the fourth round, they took a running back named Michael Carter out of North Carolina that only fell there because there were some injury concerns. If he's healthy, he's a much better player than that. So, yes, the Jets had an excellent draft. I can take absolutely no credit for it, but I did enjoy it. I actually thought the Giants did well, too. You don't need me to tell you, and I'm sure anyone listening already knows this, but Dave Gettleman, who was famously never traded back in the draft before, did so twice and to very good with very good results. I think I love Kadarius Toney, the player they got in the first round. I love Azeez Ojulari, and they got another number one next year. So I think both New York football teams, coming off really difficult seasons to watch, both of them did very well last week.
Well, listen, don't be all nice about the Giants and the Jets. You know what that rivalry is. A pox on your house, Mike Reber. Mike,
can
thanks.
Can I tell you this very quickly? I don't know if you're
ahead, I don't pay attention to breaks and stop signs and stuff. That's why I'm not as good a host. Go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
I am not one of those New York fans. I'm not a Jet fan who dislikes the Giants. I have said this to Don LaGreca many times. You know Don, obviously, a crazy Giant fan who hosts the afternoons with Michael Kay in New York. When the Giants played the Patriots in those two Super Bowls, but especially the one where the Patriots had a chance to go 19-0.
Yeah.
When the Giants won that game, I celebrated like it was the team I had rooted for all of my life. I have always rooted against, in my childhood, the Jets' arch rival was the Dolphins. I hated them. And in this era, obviously, the Jets' arch rival is the Patriots, and I root against them like crazy. I rooted for the Giants. I still remember you and Brian Kenny on the radio in New York breaking down like every play of that Super Bowl like
a month
after it happened in celebration or something like that. And I was right there with you. I was right there with you. To see New England lose that game, to see Belichick and Brady lose that game brought me infinitely more joy than almost anything else could possibly have
brought me. Well, the Mike Greenberg, he's the anti-Kellerman. He's the guy he is impossible to dislike. Thanks, Greeny. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Max.
And you can hear Mike Greenberg, of course, right here, Greeny, on ESPN Radio. Brendan didn't complain one time for going through that stop sign with Greeny. Not one time. Raj is muted. I can't hear him. Greeny, join me on
the
Goodyear
Hotline.
That's
exactly what I was saying, because it's Greeny.
Yeah,
because
it's Greeny. Brendan works
on that
show,
let's wrap it
too.
Up now. Thanks.
Yeah.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. A healthy Harden make the Nets unbeatable? This weekend's UFC 262 is a can't-miss event, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes if you haven't tried it yet. Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stand with a salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. Put your MMA knowledge to the test for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app and use code MAX for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code MAX. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Wow, you see this? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, CDC update. If you're fully vaccinated against COVID-19, you can resume activities without wearing a mask or staying 6 feet apart, except where required by federal, state, local, tribal, or territorial laws, including local businesses, workplace guidance, more. CDC is saying, unless there's a rule against it, if you're fully vaccinated, you take off the mask and you can stop social distancing. I know it's good for the economy and everything, but I'll tell you what, social distancing by itself wasn't the worst thing in the world for me. I haven't had a cold in a year and a half. Didn't have to come into work. You could do work from home in your pajamas half the time. The Max Kellerman Show, I mentioned, is on ESPN Radio. Playing game backfire on the NBA. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. A healthy Harden make the Nets unbeatable? The answer is yes, it does. Listen to James Harden talking at the post-game press conference.
You know, we can't be the pretty, you know, shot-making, easy-going team that we've been. You know, we gotta get dirty a little bit. We got to get gritty. And like I said, it's going to be pretty tough to beat us just because if we're showing how physical we are and we're making shots, it's like, what can you do?
You can't do anything. No one can do anything. Here's the thing. Mike D'Antoni, who was accused, oh, it's D'Antoni's system, you can never win a championship. It was totally opposite of that. D'Antoni's system was so good with Daryl Morey as GM, that whole system of playing so efficiently, only taking efficient shots, wasn't always fun to watch, but was so good that a Rockets team, even without Chris Paul, in a game 7, had to miss 27 straight threes to lose to the KD, Steph, Clay, Draymond Warriors by single digits. Now James Harden has KD and Kyrie. It's a wrap if they're healthy. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.